Hi, everyone around the world. You're on the Mike and Abe show, and Mike is on vacation. I think he took a trip to the island of Jamaica. Okay? Queens. And I have Carolyn with me. I'm Abe. Okay? Carolyn's
hey,
say
Abe.
Hello to everybody.
How are you doing?
Okay.
Hi. And, hi to Mike on vacation.
Okay. And Carolyn is going to, Carolyn and myself, we're going to talk about a few things. Where do you want to start, Carolyn? You want to start with the, what do you call it, with the fares?
I think you
wanted to talk about the
flexible fares pilot program.
Yeah. So go ahead. You do the talking.
Okay. I just looked it up to find out the date that it was adopted by the Taxi and Limousine Commission, mm-hmm. our friends. That was March 29th. And what
right.
it is, it will enable upfront pricing instead of the taxi meter to arrive at a fare.
Mm-hmm.
And the price will be determined by the e-hail app provider. Who's the e-hail app provider? That's Arrow, that's Curb, that's Via, and then mm-hmm. there's one called Wave. I'm not sure if they're even still around.
Well, there's an application on the TLC website that any app company that wants could get into this, right?
Right, right. As Mirazo, she said, the more the merrier. She doesn't want to choose an app for yellow cabs. The commission mm-hmm. doesn't want to get involved in that. Anybody can do it, which to me means we'll never have any brand recognition if you have many companies doing the same thing.
Well, it should be one in my
yeah, that would opinion. Be reasonable. Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Now these app companies are asked to name on the application. They're asked to say what their charges would be, and both to the customer and to the driver. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now the pilot program is supposed to run for a year or 2 years, something like that.
Two years. Yeah.
Right.
And there's a
okay.
few hundred cabs, I believe, that will be involved in it. It's
yeah.
voluntary.
Uh-huh.
I mean, some people might be excited for a moment thinking about this. Ooh, I'm going to get to do surge pricing, or I'll have some rides when I'm just empty now because the price will be lower than what the metered fare would be. But I have a feeling it's just another route to the bottom, you know, maybe a little faster than we're already going.
Well, let me ask you this, okay? You know, there were many days, you know, I'm not an airport guy, okay? I don't hang out at airports when I drove a taxi, okay? And there were many days when I would go to JFK, okay? And I'd see the lot had 300 cars, you know, waiting for fares. So I know that if I go into that lot, I'm going to be sitting there for 2 hours, okay? So
right.
The way I used to operate from there was either I went up Woodhaven Boulevard to Queens Boulevard or to Metropolitan Avenue and then went towards the city and hoped to pick up a fare along the way. Okay? I didn't always. And there were times there's this diner at the end of Queens Boulevard just before it hits Hillside Avenue. Okay? And if it was time for me to take a break and get something to eat, I would go to that diner all the way on the east side of Queens Boulevard, where it begins at Jamaica Avenue, okay? And I would take a break, and then I would cruise Queens Boulevard from Jamaica Avenue until I got to the 59th Street Bridge. And most of the time, I picked up fares on Queens Boulevard, okay? But there was no guarantee of that. There were many times where I would go from Jamaica Avenue all the way to the 59th Street Bridge and find my next fare in Manhattan, which was better than waiting at the airport for 2 hours, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, which I can't understand why anybody does that.
Right, okay? You'd rather have lots of short fares if it comes down.
Yeah,
to it.
Yeah, exactly.
The cab is always busy, right?
Right. The, as long as there's someone in the car, you're making money. Whether it be $5 or $15 or $50, okay? Now, if I had that app in my car, and I was, say, at Queens Boulevard you know, somewhere way out there, you know, near the Van Wyck Expressway, you know, Jamaica Avenue, Hillside Avenue, and I got an offer to a guaranteed fare, a guaranteed fare into the city, right? But the price on that guaranteed fare was a little bit less than what the meter would run. Okay? You know, say 10% less or 15% less. I would look at it and say, you know, this is bird in hand. I know I'm going to get this much. I don't have to worry about finding a fare going into Manhattan. Okay? So I could see the advantage of it at a time like that. But if I'm in Manhattan or in a place that's where yellow cabs are busy, then I wouldn't want to use the app at all. Okay?
Except there may be other drivers on the road who are stupid or desperate, and then you're going to be competing with those other stupid, desperate drivers who are willing to work for less than what the meter would have been.
Now, these
So
stupid,
it may
desperate
have the
drivers.
effect of just driving all the fares down, and we already have so much uncertainty in this business to begin with.
Right.
And also for
Right.
passengers, you know, one of our biggest selling points is at least you know what the fare is going to be. There it is on the meter. Although I will say I think the culture of the ridership has changed in that they expect the certainty of an upfront price because they're just afraid of everything, any sort of
I'll
uncertainty.
tell you something, Carolyn,
That works against us. Reasonable
I
people are
know.
going to disagree on this. I just have a feeling that they're going to try to seduce you and other drivers to do this, and it's not going to work out in the end.
And you may very well be correct, okay, but I'll tell you this, as a native New Yorker, having grown up in Brooklyn, New York, okay, I want to know, I would love to know what the price is before I take the cab, rather than get into a cab where I don't know what the price is going to be. I only know what the metered rates are, and all these variables can happen along the way, like traffic, okay?
Well, I can't be objective because I'm a medallion owner. But I mean, if I take a cab at a time that it's not, you know, a lot of traffic, I know what the fare is going to be if it's a regular route that I do. And I don't want it to be $12 one day and then, oh, it started raining. Gee, today it's $20 instead of $12. As a passenger, I wouldn't like that. So this is just one more way to blend the sectors to make you more like Uber. I mean, there's also another thing that they passed in May that they're not, you don't have to use a physical meter anymore. You can use a virtual meter, you know, just like Uber does. So this is the blending of the sectors. And then what is a medallion worth when it's all the same? Everything is the same.
Well, it's worth what Uber's worth, okay? I mean, and
Uber's
these
not worth
car,
anything. They lost
that's what I'm trying to say.
$11
That's what I'm trying to say. You know, but look, here's the thing. They should have never allowed Uber in the first place to get into what would be exclusive for us. Okay? You know, we still have the exclusive street hail, okay, of which many of these Uber cars are stealing anyway, okay, especially up in the Bronx. Okay, have you seen the video? I don't know if you go onto Twitter, but there are videos of TLC enforcement in the Bronx going after these livery cars that are picking up street hails, which are also affiliated with Ubers. Okay, but they're picking up street hails, and there's a lot of friction between the enforcers and the
Yeah, I
police.
know. I remember one of the drivers went after the TLC car with a bat. I remember
Yeah,
seeing that one.
but it continues. It continues. You
Yeah,
know,
somebody told me
just
that. Yeah.
yeah. You know, if you talk to our friend Nancy from the Green Cars, she's posted on Twitter, okay, videos of the TLC enforcement getting cursed out by these livery drivers. I mean, really cursed out. You know, words that we can't use on this show. All
Yeah, it's
right.
bad enough that one of the TLC commissioners thought to make an announcement at the last meeting, or no, it was the one before that, I think, where evidently they're getting emails or maybe phone calls from livery drivers who are not saying very nice things to them, and she was warning them to stop doing that. I mean, she didn't really disclose the content, but I gather it wasn't very pleasant.
You mean she was warning the drivers?
Yeah.
Well, you can't warn these drivers because they're going to do it, and this is, in my opinion, this is going to lead to violence and many arrests. Okay?
Right, and with 130,000 for hard vehicles on the road, they have to do it. because they can't make enough money with just calls from the base or from Uber.
Well, they shouldn't always, be
everything,
on, this,
everything
this shouldn't
comes
be,
back to that.
I know,
right,
but it's,
just
this,
too many
this
cars.
Shouldn't be, this shouldn't be 130,000
Of course not.
Cars on the road, and this is what the TLC allowed to happen, regardless if Mary Joshi says that she there was nothing she could do about it. That's what she says, okay? She should have, in my opinion, she should have found a way to get the city council to act, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. You know, Mayor de Blasio shouldn't have backed out when he was trying to get the cap on the Uber cars. You know, something should have been done a long time ago, you know.
Right, when it was still manageable, when there was only 20,000.
Right. And
now the cancer is everywhere. It's spreading.
It's killed. The cancer
is one.
Somebody
told me he saw a TC plate that started with a 7-9. That's a new high. Remember, they used to be starting with threes and fours. Now they're almost up to 8.
I never paid much attention to those numbers. So what you're saying is that 7-9.
Well, it's another 100 cars. It's 100 cars at least every day, I think.
Well,
the TLC says.
Well, the plate numbers didn't start with number one. Okay, they must have started with maybe number 100,000 or something. Well, not that, or 10,000 or something like that, right?
Yeah, they don't always have numbers.
Look, there were always these four hire vehicle livery cars in the Bronx. You know, if you go back to the 1970s when I started driving, they were car services that would run around and pick up street fares in Brooklyn, where I used to operate out of. On Flatbush Avenue,
right.
You see them. You see them everywhere. You see, I forgot the names of the companies, Black Pearl, I think, and there was something, but I can't remember the names, but they would have New York State livery plates, okay?
Uh-huh.
Starting with an L, and they would, and it would say right on the car, licensed by the state of New York, and then it would say, we're not yellow, we go everywhere.
And they're not even supposed to be working in New York City at all, right?
No, they're not. No, but they did. And these are the same cars that became livery cars back in the 1980s.
Right.
Okay, when they started the black car thing, they incorporated all of these livery cars. And they said, look, you could be legal, but you have to join a radio group. Okay.
You know what the big difference was, though? Livery bases were supposed to be approved by the TLC. The black car bases are merely licensed. They're not approved by the TLC. But the livery bases were supposed to be approved, and they were supposed to take into account environmental impacts and impacts on other sectors who are working within transportation. And also, they were supposed to be approved by the city council. The renewals and the new bases. And the city council doesn't seem to have done that for years. But I read some of the old hearings that they used to have on it, and they did used to actually think about it like they're supposed to. In my opinion, and it's not just my opinion, all these Uber cars were misclassified as black. They should have been classified as livery. They're not doing corporate work. Those cars aren't cooperators or franchisees in the bases. They should have been liveries, and then they would have been limited. That was one route through which they could have been limited. But as though she's told me that she can't classify them as liveries, but couldn't explain why.
Okay, well, I believe it's in the new bills that they want to classify them as liveries, something like that, right?
Yeah, well, they'll be classified as app-based service vehicles, app-based service bases, and app-based services, if that's what, in fact, happens with the bill, because the bill, I don't think it's really together in its final form. And it would have to be passed by the FHV committee and then the city council and then signed by the mayor. I think the mayor went on vacation again. It's always a bad sign when he goes away. I was listening to the Brian Lehrer show, and he said that he won't be doing the Brian Lehrer show next week because he'll be away on vacation.
Okay.
I don't know where he's...
Well, it's the 4th of July week. It used to be the 4th of July weekend. You know, if it fell on a Thursday or Friday, it was the 4th of July weekend. If it fell on a Monday or Tuesday, it was the 4th of July weekend. This year it falls on a Wednesday, so it's the 4th
of July
week.
Right.
Well, what do you know about
these
new bills?
Well, let me just tell you two other things about the flexible fares pilot program
Go ahead.
That I thought were interesting. The last line of all the material they have about it, it says, no safety evaluation of the pilot program will be required. Now, that seems rather strange. The TLC always says their prime directive is safety. It's always about safety. Like, why wouldn't you want to do a study to see what happens when you maybe you have five apps on your dashboard and you're desperately going from one to the other and looking at your, you know, GPS trying to figure out where the passenger is? Why wouldn't you do a study and see what the effect of that is?
So what you're saying, would you say that again, that no safety...
No safety evaluation of the pilot program will be required.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
That's ridiculous. You know, already there's laws, you know, in New York State has laws against anybody using an electronic device that's on the dashboard or in their hand, okay? And it applies to taxis. In fact, if you're riding down the road in a taxi and you have a cell phone in your hand, or anywhere in the car. Or anywhere in
the
car.
But let's face it, an app driver cannot function in his job unless he's on the phone all the time. The passengers are always calling them and texting them, and they're looking at their GPS, and they're looking at their phone to find the next fare. It goes with the job. You don't have to do that as a taxi driver. All you have to do is look at the road.
With Curb and Arrow, the two apps that are already in the cars, they get their apps through the TPEP. Right?
That's another thing that's being changed. There's not going to be TPEP and LPEP anymore. There's going to be, I think it's called a technology service. They're merging them.
In other words, Arrow and Curb are merging into one company?
No, they're not merging. No. But this category, there isn't going to be a TPEP or an LPEP. They're going to call it something else. They're going to call it a technology service.
But this will be
anybody can do that too. It can be more.
Wait a minute. But the equipment still will be in the taxi, right?
Yeah, but it could even just be like a tablet in the back of the cab, I think. I don't know. I don't think they have all the details worked out. It's 91 pages long, which is why I haven't read the whole thing. I think I sent it to you a couple of months ago, and you probably haven't read it either because
I'm still waiting to read The Good Earth that they assigned me in high school. Okay.
Can't you get the Cliff Notes? Yeah, we need the Cliff Notes.
No, I used. Yeah, we need the Cliff Notes. You're right.
But you see, when you do bother to read it all the way to the end, you discover really interesting things like no safety evaluation of the pilot program will be required.
That's absurd.
And there was one other thing that I thought was really funny. Let me read it to you. Grounds for termination of the agreement that's of the pilot program for the flexible fares program. It says the chair terminates if there is an immediate danger to the city, the commission, or the public.
The commission.
The commission. What possible danger is there to the commission from the pilot program?
Well, I think you mentioned this yesterday, and when we were on the phone, and I said the danger would be that they get so wild and free that they don't need the commission.
I don't think that would be called a danger to the commission, but I don't know. I thought Mike might have some ideas on that. it's so funny.
The only danger that the commission has to worry about is being dissolved. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, unless if they're talking about enforcement people, danger to the commission, you know, where some of these guys are swinging baseball bats at the enforcers, all right?
Yeah.
You know, which we don't condone.
Two commissioners. There's two missing commissioners. They've never filled those spots. I guess nobody wants the job. I don't know.
Well, if you make Taxi Dave the chairman, I'll take that one of those spots. Okay.
Yeah, I second that.
Yeah, and you and me, you Mike, okay, and John McDonough, right?
Yeah, sounds good.
I think we'd make an excellent commission. All right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Throw all the bums out. All right.
Right. I think you're not allowed to work for the TLC if you're a medallion owner, but that's a voluntary position. So probably you could do it.
If you're Well, you know something? They need some taxi drivers or ex-taxi drivers on that commission. Okay, I've been saying this since 1972 or whatever. Okay, and that seems to never happen. Okay, as I've said before, the fire commissioner was once a fireman. The police commissioner was once a cop.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The sanitation commissioner would probably picked up garbage, right?
Mm-hmm.
The taxi commission never drove a cab.
Right. Okay. I think there was somebody a long time ago, but I can't remember his name.
Uh-huh.
And also, there's supposed to be like a task force with a member from each segment of the industry, you know, a leasing agent, a fleet owner, an individual fleet driver, medallion owner, you know, there's supposed to be a whole commission of people that are supposed to meet and consider what's going on in the industry, but
they've never
put that together. That's been on the books for years.
That was dissolved by Rudy Giuliani.
It wasn't dissolved. I think it's still on the books. Somebody double-checked me, but I think it is.
Dissolved is the wrong word. It was discontinued. Okay?
They just left it hanging.
Yeah,
the late
great Alan Decker, who I used to write it for his newspaper, would always complain to me about that they have cut out the industry from their meetings, you know, from being a part of having things to say. Okay.
Yeah.
The question now is, does Uber sit in on those meetings?
Well, Uber doesn't come to TLC hearings or city council hearings anymore, as far as I can see. They must be meeting with them, but they're just not doing it in public. Lyft and Dia and, you know, everybody else is.
But have you been in that building, the Foxy building, they call it? Right?
I walk through there.
Mm-hmm. Well, how close is the Uber office to the TLC office?
They're just on different floors. The Uber office is on the first floor.
So it's a quick elevator ride. It's a fast elevator ride.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Do the elevators have apps to call for an elevator?
Right, you need to check which one's going to be the fastest, which one's going to go first. Because you need to have that certainty in your life.
Uh-huh. So listen. There's going to be a vote in July. You're telling me. What date?
Well, there's a stated meeting. That's a meeting of the entire city council on July 18th.
Okay.
Where they could presumably vote on the bill or bills or whatever form it takes. I don't know if it'll be one omnibus bill or separate bills, but they could vote on it on that day.
Okay. Now, usually a bill doesn't go before the city council, the entire city council, unless they know that they have the votes to pass it. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would think. Because it would be very embarrassing to have a bill out there that didn't pass.
So something is going to pass. Can we guess that? But what exactly is going to be in the bill and passed is still unknown. Is that right?
Yeah. Or maybe somebody knows, but I wouldn't know.
It's unknown by the people that it will affect.
Effects, yeah.
Right.
I said to a city council member a few weeks ago, you know, we're sitting in your nice office, we're having a conversation about the finer points of this and that, la, 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 la. But, you know, meanwhile, there's people hanging on the edge of a cliff by their fingernails, you know, reading every article, you know, listening to the mayor with Brian Lehrer, you know, trying to, you know, glean from his expression, what is he thinking, you know, what's going on, what's going to happen to us. And the other thing that bothers me is the 6 suicides took place during the busy time of year, from the fall till the spring.
Yeah.
That's the better time of year, okay?
Mm-hmm,
and they also mostly happened after the FHV committee was formed. People started talking about a cap, including the mayor and the governor. you know, and the speaker and Jumaane Williams and all kinds of people said, you know, we need to revisit this. We need to do something because this is nuts. So many of those suicides occurred after they started having these discussions. That's very disheartening. You know, I think people are just so beaten down, they're not, you know, believing it.
Look, I'm an optimist, okay? I always think things will get better, okay? Regardless of how bad things are, things will get better, okay?
I'm just saying, but now we're going into the slow season, you know?
I know.
Things were bad in, you know, February.
Well, you know, some of these suicides, or there were 6 suicides we know about, there may be more, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I would think that some of the suicides are, you know, were by people who just don't believe that things will get better. All right?
Yeah.
So, you know, the job that, that there's a lot of people involved in trying to get things to go better. Okay? You, for one. Okay, I see you're sitting in almost every city council meeting. Okay? You know, that involves the FHV's commission.
We all go when we can, when we have time.
There was a meeting last Monday. Right, that was the meeting where Diaz, right, and Josh.
Oh, yes, Narazoshi, did she know what the Eighth Amendment was?
Right, and that's when she got very defensive, okay? I watched the meeting. The meeting can be seen on NYC Taxi News. It's in the upper left-hand corner of the front page is a link, okay? I've posted a link so that you could watch it, okay? And, you know, the newspapers made it up like they were actually throwing punches at each other, okay?
Yeah.
But the fact is, she just said, don't run me through the mill anymore. You know, I'm a public servant. I'm doing a good job. I'm doing the best I can for the public. And she defended the large fines that could be leveled at the FHVs for picking up illegal street hails, which I myself am very in favor of. In fact, $10,000 is not enough, as far as I'm concerned.
Right, it should be so high that no one ever commits that crime, because that fine is not to raise revenue, and it's not to punish anybody. It's to prevent the crime from happening.
That's correct. Okay.
Actually, the TWA, the Taxi Workers Alliance lawyer, Zubin Suleiman, had a very interesting point, which I really learned something. He said, leave the rules that are in the administrative code, which would be illegal hails, refusals, and overcharges. Leave that alone. Leave it in the administrative code. But the other rules that the TLC has for this or that, or a broken taillight, or you were 13 inches from the curb instead of 12, you know, the stupid stuff, that should all be gone over, and probably some of it should be changed. I thought that was very reasonable.
Yeah, well, it's ridiculous. Yeah. You know, you can't always pull a taxi over within 12 inches of the curb to let somebody out. In fact, you know, sometimes people will pay their bill, swipe their card, and jump out in the middle of traffic.
I know. No,
okay,
I mean, so that was his point.
Yeah.
You should leave those really important ones alone. And it's interesting, nobody wants a lowering of the fine for illegal hails. You know, not even, people who are for driver welfare and all that kind of stuff, because you shouldn't be doing that.
Well, you shouldn't have
to do that, because there shouldn't be 130,000 cars on the road. It always comes back to that.
Well, according to what Diaz is saying, and the people that have this bill that want to lower the fines, they're saying that it's cruel and unusual punishment. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, and I don't see it that way. Okay? I see it as they're walking on my lawn, okay, and peeing on the lawn,
right.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
I should let it go. I should say, they had to pee, so you know what was a good.
Not to mention what it did to your house value. What does that do to your house value? Your medallion value.
Nobody wants to buy a house where people stop to pee on the lawn.
Right.
Okay. I think I'm making a good analogy here.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, these
worse, Or worse than that, on your lawn.
Well, whatever they need to do, okay? But
right.
But look, these cars, these livery cars, this goes back way, you know, long, long time ago. I mean, it probably started as soon as the medallion system started, where these cars were out there stealing the jobs that were declared by law to be the property of the medallion industry.
Right.
Okay. Right. Or up in the Bronx or in Brooklyn now, there's a law that says that not only are the yellow cabs, medallion cabs, entitled to these jobs, that only the green cars could pick up along with the yellows.
Right.
The yellows can pick up anywhere. Let's get that straight. Some people don't understand. The yellows have license to pick up street hails anywhere in the city of New York. Okay? Wherever
right.
you might be, even if you're in Staten Island. Okay, where I think street hails are non-existent in Staten Island, but I'm sure they've
Doesn't
happened.
That belong to New Jersey?
Well, it did. They wanted to secede at one time, and I think they voted to, but that's another story.
Right.
Okay, but the point I'm trying to make here is the yellow taxis have the exclusive right to street hails anywhere in the city, except in the zones. Now, they passed a new law in 2011 allowing the green cars, which were livery cars that wanted to become legal and be able to pick up street hails. Because as our former commissioner, David Yaski, said, well, they're doing it anyway, so we might as well make them legal. Okay?
Right.
All right, those are pretty much his exact words. Okay? Well, people murder. Okay, so we
right.
don't make that legal. Thank
right.
God they're finally making marijuana legal, because people are doing it anyway. Okay, that sort of like goes along with the prohibition of the 1930s, okay, where they were drinking anyway. But the point is this. The green cars can pick up street hails now by law. The yellow cabs can pick up street hails by law. The green cabs have to stay out of the exclusionary zone, which is below 96th Street on the east side, below 110th Street on the west side of Manhattan, okay? And these other livery cars who refused to go along with it should say, listen, we didn't want to become green cars, so we will, you know, refrain from picking up street hails. Okay?
You know how many green cabs there are in the street now? There's less than 3,000. On a daily basis.
Well, there was for very good reason.
It's supposed to be 18,000.
For very good reason.
I think it's permits for 5 or 6.
Well, the reason is because the enforcement that David Yaski promised us never came to be. Okay?
Right.
So now that they're sending out, now, 6 years later, 7 years later, whatever it is, okay, they're sending out these guys into the Bronx to you know, stop delivery cars from picking up street hails. Okay, what is, you know, it's total madness. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, they say the horse already left the barn or something like that.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, the time for the enforcement was then when the green cars hit the street. Okay, do it now. Get more people to get green. Okay.
Right.
Is this correct?
Then when they passed the higher penalty bill, they excluded the boroughs from the $2,000, $4,000, $10,000 fine.
So then what are they
really
complaining about? Let them pay their $200.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
then,
you know,
and they and we are going to take another blow. The green cabs have been doing a lot of work with accessoride.
Yeah.
Yellow cabs also have been doing a lot of jobs with accessoride, but I think it's helping the Greens even more because their business isn't that great. So the way accessoride works is they get the metered fare without a tip. But accessoride is changing that. They're going to make it a flat fare. So that ride that you got for $50, you know, might be $25 now. They're not happy about that. Nobody's going to be happy about that. So they had this lifeline tossed to them. And they were very happy and very grateful to have that work, and now it's going to be snatched away.
You know, let me say something. The consumer price index, okay, always goes up. Okay.
Right.
All right.
It says 2.8% per year in the Wall Street Journal. I'm sure it's higher, but that's what they say it is. So almost 3% a year.
Let me say this. Since 2008 or 2009, interest rates were almost zero. Okay,
right.
And the consumer price index is tied in with interest rates.
Part of it. Okay. Yeah, or you could say interest rates reflect the inflation rate. I don't know. It's a chicken and egg.
The way I see it, the interest rates are being, you know, during that time from 2008 until Donald Trump got elected, the interest rates pretty much remained close to zero. You know, if you put money in the bank, you were getting 0.5% interest.
Right. Great for borrowers, terrible for savers.
Right. Okay. Great for borrowers, terrible for savers.
Well, bad for borrowers too, because it encouraged them to take out loans that they probably shouldn't have taken out, it's going to catch up to them.
When you borrowed $1 million for a medallion, you were getting it at the lowest interest rate. Okay.
And most people took balloons, so they have to refinance, and that's going to be a whole other problem coming up. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the point I'm trying to make here is that when Donald Trump took office, he apparently told them, you got to raise the interest rates. This is the Federal Reserve, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the woman that was in charge, she resigned, and somebody else took over, and interest rates have been going up, okay? And they're going to continue to go up. So with the interest rates going up, the money you have is worth less today than it was it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So you must have a fare increase now. Okay,
yeah.
We haven't had a fare increase since it's going on 6 years. Okay, it was in the September of 2012 was the last interest rate when they took the rates off the door. Okay,
yeah,
when we gave it our last fare increase, and now it's like everybody needs a fare increase. Okay.
That might be part of the bill, because the TLC is going to start considering FHV driver income and how much they're making. They've always had the power to regulate black car and livery car fares. They just never have chosen to do so, but they've always had that power. So if they're looking into that, I mean, they can say what those fares have to be, and they could give everybody, an across the board raise.
Well,
that way it doesn't affect yellow cabs badly or black cars badly,
because
everybody would go up at the same time. Although your ridership, you would lose some ridership, but then hopefully you're going to have less cars. So,
this brings me back to the TLC meeting of April 2017.
Which
you could still watch at NYC Taxi News. Okay.
I recommend it.
Yes, if you haven't seen it, this is better than
any movie.
Especially
towards the end, where I think it was the medallion owner who stood up and said to the commission, why don't you just shoot me? Okay, so it's not like the commission doesn't know how bad things are.
Well, the tears coming out of the drivers in that meeting, if that didn't affect, Ms. Joshi, and the rest of the commissioners, I don't know what can. Okay, because there was a moment there, this was an opportunity for them to say, let's give these people some more money, okay?
Yeah.
Let's raise the rates.
Everybody across the board.
Yeah, right. And they didn't act. Okay, this is horrible. I mean, this is a commission that doesn't act. Okay.
Even recommend.
Yeah.
Let's say
Mirza Oshie
is correct, and she has no power to regulate numbers of cars, which I don't agree with, but, that's me. She could, be on the phone every day with the speaker and the city council saying, guys, you got to do something about this. There's people, jumping out of windows and hanging themselves. Please, do something. But I don't hear her being very vocal about it. I don't know.
Well, it's only since these suicides that they got their act together, okay, and nothing yet has passed, okay.
Yeah,
I'm not
really that familiar with the legislative process. I don't know how long does it take. All I know is that Uber tipping bill that went through with lightning speed. I mean, that was unbelievable. The idea came up. They had a hearing. Boom, it was in the city council. It got passed. I don't think I've ever seen anything, you know, that fast. And I don't know that it's actually helped them, but maybe it has a little.
Well, I think they were getting some tips anyway. Okay, I mean, it's hard for a passenger, you know, to not tip a driver. It's just hard. I wouldn't
do it. Millennials don't like to tip at all. Even in restaurants, they don't like to tip. There was an article the other day that came out about that.
now, to be a millennial, you have to have reached the age of 13 by the year 2000. Is that it?
I guess most of them are in their late 20s, 30s by now.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting old,
Carolyn.
Well, we're baby boomers.
Yeah, I know, and we're not booming
anymore.
We're going to drain
the system because there's so many of us and not that many workers.
so the millennials are like the no tip millennials.
Yeah.
You know,
because they're saddled with student debt, and they can't find jobs, and they're still living with their parents in the basement. They have a lot of problems.
The reason they're living with their parents in the basement is because they never take their eyes off their cell phone. Okay.
Yeah.
And God forbid they should ever answer the phone. You know, what word should I put this in? You know, when a girl seeks a boy or a boy seeks a girl. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I want to call. In our day, we would pick up the phone and call up and say, "Hello, Susan. This is Abe. Oh, hi, Abe." And Susan's eyes would light up. Wow, he's calling me. This is great. Okay. But nowadays, Susan, you know, Abe sends Susan a text message or calls up and she says, "This is Susan. I'm not at my phone right now. You know, please leave me a message." You know, no one answers the phone.
Well, okay? And it's even beyond that. I mean, people hook up with apps. So they're not even calling or texting each other. It's done for you by an app. Maybe there's even an algorithm for you to find the most compatible people.
Uh-huh. Well.
And then they keep track of it.
Well, I'm telling you.
But the most interesting thing is that the big shots in Silicon Valley don't allow their children to use cell phones or the internet, just on a very limited basis. Don't you find that interesting?
Yeah, because they know how destructive these things are to the persona of these people.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I guess you feel like you're busy if you're on the phone all the time. okay, what else is new? The Federal Reserve, the New York Federal Reserve, did a study that indicates that minorities in outer boroughs are affected by delays on the subway to a greater extent than wealthier people who live in the central city.
Well, there's also an article in Fortune on the internet, and I posted this article, you know, and you can believe it or not, that Uber and the other app providers are saying that it's these people that are most beneficial of their services.
Oh, I know. Well, the Uber's only working in East New York. I know. When they say outer boroughs, I mean, that includes, you know, Williamsburg and Greenpoint and Long Island City.
South Bronx.
That's Greater Manhattan. Those aren't the outer boroughs.
So I think they're mixing that up.
Also, I will say Uber's always saying that, oh, we're working in the outer boroughs, you know, and yet I saw their lawyers in court in that recent case where Uber was suing the TLC that they didn't want to abide by the TLC rules as far as wheelchair accessibility. They wanted their own pilot program to be made permanent in the rules. So in this case, in this courtroom, Judge Andrew Borok's courtroom, state Supreme Court, they argued, oh, no, we're mostly in Manhattan. So that's why, you know, then the wheelchair people are in, you know, the Bronx and Queens, so, you know, we can't help them. So in this case, they were arguing the opposite. I was laughing to myself.
In other words, they just tell whoever needs to hear it what they want to hear.
Yeah, like I heard them say in another Supreme Court, which during the Article 78 lawsuit, they said that their cars get inspected 3 times a year. Well, yes and no. That was very misleading because the judge didn't realize that they don't have to go to the Woodside inspection station and get that thorough environmental inspection, you know, where you never leave there without having to spend $500 or $1,000, right? They just go to the gas station and get inspected three times a year. So it wasn't an out-and-out lie, and that was by the city lawyers this time. That was Michelle Goldberg-Kahn and I think and Karen Seldon.
They left
out a vital piece of information and misled the judge.
The TLC built that Woodside facility back in the early 1990s or late 1980s. I don't remember exactly when, because they didn't want taxis anymore to be inspected at gas stations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because there was a lot of
Well, then everybody should be inspected there three times a year.
There was a lot of corruption going on. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Really? Corruption?
Well, I'll tell you. I'll admit there was a time in the late 1970s where I know it. I'm not going to say who it was. Okay, but somebody bought a used checkered taxi. Okay, and they took it to a place in Brooklyn on Coney Island Avenue to be inspected before it was hacked up. Okay, you needed an inspection. And the mechanic walked over to the medallion owner and said, listen, you know, this car has a lot of problems. And the guy said, well, what does it need? He said, put something in the ashtray, he said. And the guy and the medallion owner put $10 in the ashtray. And he went back to the medallion owner and said, is that the best you can do? Okay. So another $10, another $10 went in the ashtray. And, you know, this is what would go on with the gas stations. Okay. And I hardly think that that's changed. Okay.
Right.
All right. You know, I mean, and then there was, you know, there was once 14 TLC inspectors arrested, let out of the Woodside facility in handcuffs. Do you recall
that?
When did that happen? In the early 1990s, okay? You can look it up. It was in all the newspapers, okay? And they were accepting cash bribes from the taxi drivers. The taxi owners, okay, and you know, this goes on and on and on, okay. So, you know, this is documented. I'm not making this up. All right. I mean, probably,
right, but it's probably less likely to happen at the Woodside facility than at the gas station.
Yes, it's less likely to happen.
And there's no reason why app cars would be inspected less often than yellow cabs, because they actually do more mileage, and that's per Bruce Schaller. That's not per me. That's per Bruce Schaller. He actually checked on the odometers in the records of the black cars, and he said they do more mileage than we do. So they certainly should be inspected the same as us.
Well,
and if you don't have the facilities, either get more facilities, bigger facilities, or don't have so many cars. You see, it always comes back to that. Don't have so many cars that you cannot properly inspect them. When you're telling me that safety is the number one thing that you think about.
Well, you know, hopefully in these new legislation that we're hoping is going to get passed, there is a means to lower the number of cars to what is actually needed.
Yeah.
Okay. Then, you know, all these cars out there we know aren't needed. Okay. If one car is doing three trips in 6 hours, you know, that car isn't needed. Okay.
Right.
If two cars are doing the six trips apiece, one car could do 12 trips. Okay. I mean, it's
And if you get rid of those cars, then the existing cars will be doing more trips. So it works for everybody. You know,
you don't have to get. Some argue, well, it'll put drivers out of work. Well, not all of them, because they could double up on the cars.
Most of them quit in a year. They're not there anymore. I mean, the ones that are dedicated, that are going to meetings at demonstrations, I mean, maybe these are the full-time, long-term drivers that will stay, and then they'll be making more money, if they get rid of some of the other cars, just the part-time.
Many of the drivers wouldn't quit if they could make if they could make money. Okay, you know, right. it's total ridiculousness. Okay.
Yeah, and the longer it went on, the worse it got, and the harder it is to fix.
Yeah. Okay, so what's on the horizon is in the month of July, and what was that date again? The 18th?
They could conceivably vote on something on July 18th.
Okay, and at that last meeting, Diaz did confirm that the bills are still alive, right?
Yeah,
That they're still working on how to get everybody happy, okay? Mira Joshi has no plans for resignation, okay?
I don't think so.
You know, well, maybe after they pass the bills and give her the power to do certain things, she'll do it. Okay.
Whatever passes, it's going to be a big job for them.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're going to need more people, you know, more inspectors, more office space, more computers, because they're going to have a lot of work, you know, to keep track of everything.
Yeah.
You know, which brings us to the another thing, the lack of TPEP or something like TPEP in black cars.
Yeah.
All their reporting is on the honor system.
Yeah, they are. You can't do the honor system. Not in the it's just not doable. Because, you might get one, you know, there might be 10% honesty, unless you have,
right.
You know, I mean.
So if you're going to have all this supervision, you know, how many trips are you doing? What is your driver's income? How many hours is the driver on the road? You need some kind of a reporting system.
What about these 250, 275 surcharges that the MTA is?
That's the next nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm praying that somebody steps in somehow and it doesn't happen, okay? Or ties it up in the courts or something.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it. It is just beyond horrifying, and everybody knows it.
Yeah, well.
And Uber has a plan, you know, to get around it. They'll say all their rides are group rides, and then it's only 75 cents extra. A passenger.
Well, it's not a group ride if it's not a group ride, but they're going to say they're group rides.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, again, without TPEP, how do you know?
Here's where
does
the honesty,
know anything?
Here's where the honesty factor comes in.
Right.
Okay? You know, and why should Uber get the 75-cent group rides and the taxis not?
You know, you could tell that the whole group riding thing was created by out-of-towners, because no New Yorker thinks that it's a good idea. You know, you get into a car with, you know, four strange guys at 2 o'clock in the morning. Really? And it's not like the bus. The bus is different. The train is different. It's just crazy. That's the last thing anybody should want to do in New York City.
Whatever happened, Fernando Mateo's wife was trying to start a service, women only. Women drivers.
Oh, I heard about that service, but I didn't know it was Fernando Mateo's wife.
Yeah,
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it.
Yeah, well, that's what I read. Okay. Okay, If I'm not correct, Fernando, I'm sorry. And what did he say recently that he's not correct on? He said something that the green cabs were the reason for the decline in the medallion value. Okay.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that one.
I read that. He was in the news saying that Uber and Lyft had nothing to do with the decline in the medallion value. It's the green cabs. What green cabs? You know, we don't have any.
Right.
We have 3,000 green cabs riding around the Bronx praying to get a fare, you know.
Praying to get an accessoride job.
Yeah, okay. Well, I met Fernando one day, okay, up in Albany. Okay, he's a funny guy, you know, but, you know, people make things up. You know, they make things up, okay?
Yeah.
Well, that service never came to be, I believe, the all-women service.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it would be that helpful. After all, there was a yellow cab driver who picked up three women on Avenue D and 2nd Street and took them to the Bronx. I think one got out before they made it to the final destination, and then they didn't want to pay the fare, and then they beat up the driver. That was two women.
Well,
unfortunately, I hope the guy is okay.
You should never go running after money. And I'll tell you, that reminds me of a time where I took four women to the corner of, I believe, it was on the Grand Concourse before it turns into a big highway, you know, with the 7-8 lanes. You know, just before, just south of that, I took them. There was some sort of restaurant that was open there, an outdoor restaurant. I'm not sure. But I dropped them off. I picked them up on 12th Avenue and 28th Street, I believe it was, or 27th Street. There was this all-night discotheque, you know, party place. And there was, you know, and I took them up there. I don't know what was on the meter, $14, whatever. You know, this was before the last fare increase, right? And the one is sitting up front, three are sitting in the back. And they said, okay, stop here. I stopped. And the four of them got out of the car and walked away, the four of them, right? And I stood there, and I sat there, and I said to myself, oh, I see. Okay. And I just turned around and went back to Manhattan.
And you know, they were wearing heels, four women taking off heels, that's eight weapons.
Well, I wasn't crazy.
Think about it.
Look, I wasn't going to be insane and start running after them. Where's my money? You know, no, please, it's okay. I'll live to see another day. All right?
Right.
My next fear hopefully will make up for this. All right?
Right.
Don't run after, you know, Alan Decker used to say, never run after money. Never run after money. If somebody wants to beat you for a fare, let it go. Just let it go. Okay? And with that, Carolyn, we're getting close to the 1 hour mark. Okay? It goes fast, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say thank you for doing the show today, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
You know, Mike will be back soon. Okay? He's still on vacation in Jamaica, Queens. Okay, somewhere.
I would like to hear his view as a driver of this upfront pricing.
Yeah,
how he thinks it's going to play out.
Then next week, we'll try to do a show. The next two Sundays, I'm tied up. Okay, but we could try to do a show maybe during the week or on Saturday. Okay, and put it up on Sunday. All right. So thanks for coming on the show, and have a good holiday.
Keep it up. People miss your show when it's not on. People worry.
I know that. Have a good holiday. And to all you cab drivers out there, keep your windows closed. If you're out there working on the 4th of July, keep your windows closed. Okay?
Good advice.
Because there are places in the city where they won't hesitate to throw an ash can or a cherry bomb into your window, you know, into your car. You don't need this, okay?
Don't be cheap. Keep the air conditioning on and keep the windows closed.
Right, exactly. And
I think it's going to be 100 degrees here today.
Probably
higher here than in Florida.
You're right. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right. So thanks again, and bye, everybody. See you again next week.
Okay. Thanks, Abe. Bye.